So today we're going to read a verse from the 10th canto, chapter 3. Chapter 3 is entitled, The Birth of Lord Krishna. And I prepared a handout for you with the verse and the synonyms on it. So I'd like to pass these out. I made 25 copies. And you might have to share some. These may be for the men, more for the men, less for the women. Translation, the demigods and great saintly persons showered flowers in a joyous mood, and clouds gathered in the sky and very mildly thundered, making sounds like those of the ocean's waves. Then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, who is situated in the core of everyone's heart, appeared from the heart of Devaki in the dense darkness of night, like the full moon rising on the eastern horizon. Because Devaki was of the same category as Sri Krishna. So I thought we could chant this along with the recording. We'll let the recording kind of lead us in the chanting. This recording is expressive of the feeling that's described in this verse, the joyous attitude of the demigods and the sages on the arrival of Krishna within the universe. And I'm hoping that the music will convey to you this joy. We are preparing for Janmashtami, so we want to celebrate, and that means we should also feel the joy that goes along with that celebration. And I'm hoping that we can chant this together and sing it together and feel the happiness that's expressed by the artist, Karnamrita. If you're a brahmachari and you're thinking, well, I shouldn't listen to a woman sing, much less try to identify with the feeling she's expressing. Don't worry, you can take it that, you know, Srila Prabhupada let the tape of the Govinda song sung by Jamuna be played in all the temples every day, and we all feel fine when Jamuna leads us in the Govinda prayer. So I think this is no different than that. Okay, are you ready? The purport starts out explaining the line from the Brahma Samhita that was mentioned in the word-for-word synonyms. Devaki is in the same category as the Personality of Godhead, Ananda Chinmaya Ras. As stated in the Brahma Samhita 537, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavitabhis Tabir ya eva nija rupataya kalabihi Goloka eva niva satya akila mabhuta Govindam adi purusham tam aham bhajami. This verse indicates that Krishna and his entourage are of the same spiritual potency, Ananda Chinmaya Ras. Krishna's father, Krishna's mother, his friends, the cowherd boys, and the cows are all expansions of Krishna. When Brahma took away Krishna's associates to test the supremacy of Lord Krishna, Krishna expanded himself again in the forms of the many cowherd boys and calves, all of whom, as Brahma saw, were Vishnu Murtis. Devaki is also an expansion of Krishna, and therefore this verse says, Devakyam Devarupinam Vishnu Sarva Guhashaya. At the time for the Lord's appearance, the great sages and the demigods, being pleased, began to shower flowers At the seashore, there was the sound of mild waves, and above the sea there were clouds in the sky, which began to thunder very pleasingly. So Krishna was in Vrindavan, in Mathura, appearing in Mathura. The sea isn't anywhere close, so the sea that's being described must be the sea on the two sides of India, the Arabian Sea and the Bay of Bengal. So the verse is giving us kind of a view from the top, you know, we're looking down on the scene, and we can even see along the sides the sea on the sides of India. And of course the demigods are also brought into the picture too, so the we're getting an upper view. When things were adjusted like this, Lord Vishnu, who is residing within the heart of every living entity, appeared in the darkness of night as the Supreme Personality of Godhead before Devaki, who appeared as one of the demigoddesses. They were in a prison house, but nothing was lacking in terms of the opulence. Devaki is described as one of the demigoddesses. The appearance of Lord Vishnu at that time could be compared to the rising of the full moon in the sky on the eastern horizon. But the objection may be raised that since Lord Krishna appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon, Ashtami, Janamashtami, there could be no rising of the full moon. In answer to this, it may be said that Lord Krishna appeared in the dynasty, which is in the hierarchy of the moon. Therefore, although the moon was incomplete on that night, because of the Lord's appearance in the dynasty where the moon is himself the original person, the moon was in an overjoyous condition. So by the grace of Krishna, he could appear as a full moon. To welcome the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the waning moon became a full moon in jubilation. Hare Krishna. So something kind of miraculous happened. There was a change in the moon's face. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, that's, let's see, which line? Deva Rupinyam is line 6. And Deva Rupinyam means in the same category as the Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada's still discussing this. Instead of Deva Rupinyam, some texts of Srimad Bhagavatam clearly say Vishnu Rupinyam. In either case, the meaning is that Devaki has the same spiritual form as the Lord. The Lord is Sachid Anand Vigraha, and Devaki is also Sachid Anand Vigraha. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sachid Anand Vigraha, appeared from the womb of Devaki. This just reminded me of what the Catholics teach. I was raised a Catholic, so for many years I heard this, you know, every year. The Catholics have a calendar like we do, and they celebrate different events each year. The same event comes up every year. So there's two events connected with the birth of Jesus. One is the Immaculate Conception. That's the idea that Mary did not appear in this world by ordinary conception. And neither did Jesus, neither of them. So basically the same idea is described here. The Lord Satchitananda and Devaki is Satchitananda. Therefore, no one can find any fault in the way the personality of Godhead appeared from the womb of Devaki. Those who are not in full knowledge of the appearance and disappearance of the Lord, those who are not in full knowledge that the appearance and disappearance of the Lord are transcendental, janma karma, chame divyam, are sometimes surprised that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can take birth like an ordinary child. Actually, however, the Lord's birth is never ordinary. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already situated within the core of everyone's heart as Antaryami, the Supersoul. Thus, because he was present in full potency in Devaki's heart, he was also able to appear outside her body. One of the 12 great personalities is Bhishma Dev, Swayambhur, Narada, Sambhu, Kaumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlad, Janaka, Bhishma. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhishma, a great authority to be followed by the devotees, says that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in the core of everyone's heart, just as the sun may be on everyone's head. Yet although the sun may be on the heads of millions and millions of people, this does not mean that the sun is variously situated. Similarly, because the Supreme Personality of Godhead has inconceivable potencies, he can be within everyone's heart and yet not be situated variously. That means, you know, there's not many super souls. It's not that Krishna has to replicate the super soul millions and millions and millions and millions of times to be in everyone's heart. He's just one super soul, but some inconceivable potency is there by which he can be in everyone's heart, although he's one. This is confirmed also in the Ishopanishad, verse 7, Ekatvam Anupashyata. The Lord is one, but he can appear in everyone's heart by his inconceivable potency. Thus, although the Lord was within the heart of Devaki, he appeared as her child. According to the Vishnu Purana, therefore, as quoted in the Vaishnava Toshini, the Lord appeared like the sun. Anugraha Saya. The Brahma Samhita confirms that the Lord is situated even within the atom. The atomic energy contains Krishna. Andantarasta Paramanu Chayanatarstam. The Lord is situated in Mathura, in Vaikuntha, and in the core of the heart. Therefore, one should clearly understand that the Lord did not live like an ordinary child in the heart or the womb of Devaki. Nor did he appear like an ordinary human child, although he seemed to do so in order to bewilder the asuras like Kamsa. The asuras wrongly think that Krishna took birth like an ordinary child and passed away from this world like an ordinary man. Such asuric conceptions are rejected by persons in knowledge of the Personality of Godhead. Quoting Bhagavad Gita 4:6, Ajopi san avyayatma bhutanam ishvaro pisan. This means the Lord is Aja, unborn, and he's the supreme controller of everything. Nonetheless, he appeared as the child of Devaki. This verse describes the inconceivable potency of the Lord, who appeared like the full moon. Understanding the special significance of the appearance of the personality of Godhead, one should never regard him as having taken birth like an ordinary child. Mumuchu munayo devo sumanamsi mudan vitta mandamandam jaladara jagajur nishite tama udbute jayamane janardane devakyam devarupinyam vishnu sarvaguashaya abharashit yata pratyam dishiyindu viva pushkara. So Devaki was Krishna conscious. She was aware that the personality of Godhead was in her heart or in her womb. And even Kamsa was Krishna conscious. He saw Devaki illuminated by the presence of the Lord. She felt pure, she felt jubilant. And Kamsa saw this and he noticed the change in Devaki and he could understand. Now Vishnu has appeared within her body. But he was thinking unfavorably about the whole thing. I want to kill that Vishnu. I have to wait until he comes out. And Krishna within Devaki's heart was thinking, when I get out, I'm going to kill Kamsa. So there was a whole lineup of demons waiting to deal with Vishnu or Krishna when he appeared. Kamsa had assembled many allies. And some of these allies had brothers and sisters, and they were all waiting with unfavorable Krishna consciousness to act in relation to Krishna by fighting him and trying to kill him. Once on a morning walk in Bombay, Prabhupada was talking about this. He said, Krishna, personality of Godhead, when he appears, wherever he appears, there's immediately some opposition. Right from the very beginning, right from his birth, the demons begin their attacks. And Prabhupada extended this point a little bit. He said, unless there's opposition to Krishna consciousness, unless there's opposition in the world to Krishna consciousness, we can take it that it's not genuine Krishna consciousness. Krishna must be opposed when he appears in this world, because that's the nature of the material world. People are against Krishna consciousness. So he said a characteristic of whether your Krishna consciousness is genuine, whether it's serious, is whether you're facing some opposition. And he said that opposition is our victory. That's a sign of our victory, that we're genuine. And he was, as I said, he was talking about this in Bombay. And he actually faced very much opposition in Bombay. you may have heard, even if you're just a new monk in the manor, there was a couple called the Nairs, Mr. and Mrs. Nair. They tried to cheat Prabhupada of the money that he paid. He paid a down payment on the land in Juhu. And Mr. Nair and Mrs. Nair, they tried to cheat Prabhupada. We'll get the money back. We'll get him to cancel the contract. We'll keep the money. We'll create so much opposition among our government allies that we won't let Prabhupada get a building permit. We won't let him get police permission. All these demons were working together. Even the lawyer that ISKCON hired was working on the side of Mr. Nair, it turned out. And the media wasn't any help. The media was questioning the identity of the devotees. It started before they moved to Juhu. The devotees were living in a building next to the Arabian Sea called Akashganga. It was a prestigious building, so much so that several embassies were in the building. So the devotees happened to get the 7th floor, and on the 6th floor was the Pakistani embassy. And 1971, an Indo-Pakistani war broke out in East Pakistan, what's now Bangladesh. And the media and the government people were actually thinking, maybe this Hare Krishna movement is a cover for the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agency. Maybe they're working with the Pakistanis against the interests of India. But none of this opposition deterred Prabhupada. He just surged ahead. He wanted to open the temple in Bombay. And he rallied as much support as he could. And the support actually came from America. It came from people of different races and classes and people in many different occupations. I've been editing a book about Prabhupada in Bombay for the last 7 months. Lokanath Swami wrote a memoir, and he's calling it Bombay is My Office. Prabhupada often said, Bombay is my office. So the title of the book is Bombay is My Office. And next January is the 40th anniversary of the opening of the Bombay temple, so the book will be coming out then. So back to the narration here. The personality of Godhead is the super soul in everyone's heart. Another word for that is Vishvatma. And he's described as the only lovable object. Everyone should become Krishna conscious. Everyone should realize that Krishna is the only lovable object. We place our love, of course, in so many other objects. We forget about Krishna. We don't see him in our heart. He's so close. The soul is seated in the heart and the super soul is there. He's so close to us, but we can't see him. We're not concentrated enough. We're not trained enough to feel the joy that Devaki felt. She felt purified by the presence of the super soul, by Krishna in her heart. So because we forget this, we suffer, we make relationships with so many other objects and persons in the world. But when we receive the mercy of the devotees of the Lord who are describing the Lord in truth, then we begin to understand his presence. And we begin to understand what Krishna wants of us. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that if you understand the transcendental nature of my appearance in this world, and the transcendental nature of my activities in the world. Then, something special I have for you. Janma karma chame divyam evam yoveti tatvataha. If you can know a little bit about this in truth, then upon leaving your body, you won't take birth again in this world, Arjuna. Chakvadeham puna janma naitimam eti sarjun. You give up the body, or the body gives you up, either way you want to say it. You're separated from the body, taktvadeyam. Punarjanmanaiti. Don't take another birth. You don't take another birth when you understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's birth. So Prabhupada, because this verse says this, Prabhupada sometimes said this verse is the most important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. That's 4:7, Janma Karma Chame Divyam. If you can just understand some of the truth about Krishna. So one way to realize this, besides, of course, hearing about it, is by performing the austerity of fasting on the appearance day of the Lord. And the most serious fast is the all-day fast. The fast until the midnight, in the dark of night, Krishna appeared. In the darkness of the night. So the devotees wait until after midnight. But on Radharani's, Srimati Radharani's appearance day, we don't fast that long, we fast until noon. Therefore, Prabhupada remarked that Radharani is more merciful than Krishna. But he said to us that this fasting is important. If you do this fast as an austerity for Krishna, offer this austerity to Krishna, looking for the reciprocation that Krishna can give us. You know, if we think, I don't understand Krishna's appearance, how I need the mercy of Krishna to understand him, then Krishna will help us if we do some austerity and try to get some understanding. And those who don't even care about understanding Krishna, the Vaishnavas say, they're just fools. They're fools. Or they take Krishna as an ordinary person. If you look in an encyclopedia or a dictionary, you might read that Krishna is a famous coward boy who became elevated to the status of a hero or celebrated as a god, you know, something like that. People can't immediately understand the transcendental nature of this event. And it's such a great event that those who know about it, those who do understand it, they become liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Such an important event. So we understand it by getting this knowledge from a liberated person. Srila Prabhupada is one of those liberated persons who's not subject to birth and death anymore. Not even when he came. It can be understood that Prabhupada was sent into the world for a purpose, for Krishna's mission. And when the mission was complete, he returned to Krishna. But if we take the knowledge from a liberated person, then we can understand. Prabhupada compared this to a child and a parent, a child who takes direction from his mother and father. He can act, you know, in a proper way. But if he were just to follow his nature all the time, or her nature, the child, his or her nature, just act like a child all the time and not take any direction from the parents, then the child just remains conditioned by his nature. But if he takes the direction of the parents, he can outgrow that childish nature and develop. So in the same way, if we just manufacture our own ideas of spiritual life and think I'll do what I want and I'll figure it out on my own, then we won't become liberated. We'll remain conditioned. But if we surrender to Krishna, strictly following what Krishna says, then we'll be liberated. That's the idea. Okay, any questions?